And from West Virginia Public Radio News, this is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Members of the State Board of Education heard directly from teachers this month about the development and the implementation of the state's Next Generation Standards. Those standards are West Virginia's version of Common Core. As Ashton Mara reports, the standards have sparked conversation not just in the classroom, but in the State House as well.
So today is a moment for us to pause as a state to reflect on where we are with our educational reform and our educational progress.
State Superintendent of Schools Dr. Michael Martirano took over the job in September of this year, but before he even came to West Virginia, big changes were in the works. During the 2013 legislative session, Governor Tomlin called for and lawmakers passed a bill focused on reforming the state's failing education system based on an audit conducted by an outside organization in 2012. But before that, in 2010, the state board voted to change the education content standards of the state by adopting Common Core. Since its adoption, there's been pushback from West Virginians, but board member Wade Linger says the people who don't like Common Core don't know enough about it, and that includes state lawmakers.
Well, I think most people think that we had our standards and we were going along fine, and then this Common Core thing came along and we just threw ours out and swallowed the Common Core and without even really thinking about it.
But that's not quite what happened. A group of 100 teachers from all subject areas and grade levels from all parts of the state came together to study the National Common Core standards and adapt them to be West Virginia specific. Teresa Hammond was one of those 100 teachers.
We have always had standards. I've been teaching for 27 years. I have not taught a single day without standards.
At the time, Hammond was teaching the curriculum the state had in place called the 21st Century Standards. She helped create the state's version of Common Core titled the Next Generation Standards.
As we analyzed the Next Generation Standards, comparing them to our former 21st Century Standards, we were so impressed with what we already had in place in West Virginia.
Hammond says in 2010, as the teachers worked through and compared both sets of content standards, they found 80% of West Virginia's English language arts standards and 73% of the state's math standards aligned perfectly with Common Core. The changes they did have to make, Hammond told the board, were mostly with progression, making sure children were learning the right concepts at the right ages. Hammond says the new standards are more rigorous, but they are also more relevant, making what the students learn means something in the world they live in. West Virginia's 2015 Teacher of the Year, Gail Adams, says she backs the new content standards 100%.
My teaching has changed from something static into a dynamic, challenging daily endeavor. Truly.
But state lawmakers are less sure about Common Core. Republican Senator Donna Boley, perhaps more than any other. With the change in legislative power, Boley will become the new vice chair of the Senate's Education Committee, an influential post. She's made it clear in the last few weeks that the standards will be a focus.
What I'm saying is, let's look at it. Maybe we're wrong into opposing it. Let's discuss it openly and see what we can do. Maybe we can fix some of it. Maybe we have to throw it out and start over again.
Linger says he and other members of the board, including Board President Gail Manchin, have been meeting informally with lawmakers to open a dialogue about Common Core.
I would say that at least 90% of the people who are against the new standards don't know what they are. But if they saw what we have, they're great standards, and if we just follow through with it, and let it, give it time to show that it works, we're going to see these things, these standards, our student achievement rise, and we're going to get off the bottom of the list.
Republican lawmakers have not yet released their education agenda for the upcoming session, but Linger says the board intends to work closely with both the House and Senate to keep West Virginia's education system on the right track. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:34. The is there a chance of some flurries this morning, becoming partly to mostly cloudy today and breezy. Temperatures will be in the 30s, mostly cloudy overnight with lows in the teens and 20s. Partly sunny on Friday, highs in the 30s and low 40s for the weekend. Partly cloudy with daytime temperatures in the 30s and 40s.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by Tamarack, where Jugheads by Ed Kimmick look like your Uncle Louie and Grandma Tabor. At I-77, exit 45 and TamarackWV.com. Support is also provided by West Virginia Division of Rehabilitation Services, enabling and empowering workers with disabilities to meet business workforce needs. Visit WVDRS.org for employer services.
Tonight at the Culture Center in Charleston, the annual Joy to the World Tour kicks off. Wheeling native and vocalist Molly O'Brien joins pianist Bob Thompson in his annual Christmastime concert. Glennis Board spoke with O'Brien and Thompson about the jazz-influenced holiday program.
So Joy to the World has become an annual tradition. What got it started?
Well, Glennis, this will be our 22nd year, and it all started just from a suggestion by Don Wafer, who used to be a producer here at West Virginia Public Radio. And he said to me one day, Bob, you should do a Christmas show. And I thought about it, and I said, well, let's give it a try. And we started out just thinking it would be something that we would do locally here in Charleston. And every year, we got great crowds and people were excited about it, so we just tried to keep it going. I think Molly was on our show back in when we first got it started. I think she was maybe our sixth guest that we had on the show, so this is really an exciting time to have her back again with us.
Do you remember how that combination came to be?
Well,
do you remember, Bob?
Yeah, I just remember Molly, because Molly was also a frequent guest on Mountain Stage. And I got to hear her, and I just loved her singing. You know, she's got such a great voice, and so it was just natural.
Do you remember what that was like, Molly?
Oh, yes, I do. I remember very well. And I just remember being so nervous the night before that I couldn't sleep. And I was so tired. But I, you know, the old adrenaline kicks in and excitement and nervousness and all that stuff. And it was fun. It was great. It was a great band with Bob at the helm, you know, just really fun.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize that you were nervous because you were so great. I guess I can understand why, because when the guest artist comes in, we have one rehearsal the day before. And then we do sound checks and a little rehearsal the day of the show, and that's it. So,
and is there always a guest artist?
Yes. We always bring in a guest artist.
So after two decades of what I'm going to go ahead and call serious caroling, are there any prominent favorites?
Well, there are certain songs that, you know, are just so strongly a part of the tradition that they get done, you know, all over and over again. One of them being, of course, the Christmas song, which is a classic.
Let's just take a minute to listen to one of last year's performances. This is the Christmas song featuring last year's guest artist, vocalist Heather Massey.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Christmas songs, the real classic Christmas songs, are kind of like tourist destinations, you know, when you go to a new city and people say, oh, you have to go see this, you have to go see that. There's a reason why you have to see it, is because it's just such a wonderful thing to witness in a town. It's Christmas Carol is kind of like that. It's something that you have to do again and again.
Everybody knows the turkey.
So this is your second tour spreading joy around the state, right?
Yes, this is the second year. Last year we went to Elkins and Morgantown besides our Charleston show. And this year, we're going to be in Wheeling and also in Beckley. And Wheeling being the hometown of Molly O'Brien.
Yeah, at the Capitol, which is very exciting. I have not seen it in its renovated glory, so that's going to be fun. Well, I got to hear a lot of wonderful people there, and now to be able to do this on my own, you know, under my kind of my own name with Bob is pretty exciting.
And are you expecting a big crowd?
I hope so. What do you think, Bob? I mean, I hope that you know, it's early enough it's not right on the heels of Christmas. People can come down for a couple hours of great music and go on their merry way.
Yeah, I certainly hope people do come out in Wheeling. It's a special show, and I'm sure they'll enjoy it.
Well, great. Thank you very much, both of you, for talking with me. And we're looking forward to the shows.
Thank you, Glennis.
All right, thank you, Glennis.
And you can learn more about Joy to the World, including ticket information, times, and venues online at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. I'm Beth Voorhees.